I'm always thankful for the children to get up and sing at any age. It's good for them. It helps them in later life. If the Lord ever calls them into any kind of calling to serve Him in a work in the church, that always makes it a little bit easier. It's kind of helped to break the ground, so to speak. So we desire your prayers tonight as we look into the Word of the Lord. We are always in need of the Lord. Thank you, sir. Appreciate everybody's love and hospitality to us since we've been here. I want to open in 1 Peter 2nd chapter, please. 1 Peter 2, 1. No, 2, 1 Peter 2 and 18. And again, we desire your prayers. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the forward. And this is thankworthy if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongly. For what glory is it if when ye be buffeted with you for your faults that you take it patiently, but if when you do well and suffer for it, you take it personally, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you'd follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Started serving as a pastor in Guthrie in 1987 in the fall. And this happened either that Christmas or the following Christmas of 88. I don't remember exactly which. But we were invited to be in a young couple's gathering at a certain couple's house there, a younger couple. We were all about the same age at the time. And so there was a number of us there, and we were singing Christmas carols and songs and different things, and I felt like the Lord come down and blessed. Well, I know He did. He just come down and He fed my soul and He gave me a type of a vision. And in this vision, I was thinking about the high price that the Lord paid, so to speak. And in that He left the throne and He come down and He was born in a manger and He was doing all He could do, so to speak, to make a plan. And I thought there is a high reason why He was born the way He was born. He wasn't born in a great hospital. He wasn't born in a big motel. He wasn't born in a fine castle or a big home or anything like that. He was born in the most meager, humble birth that you could have in a stall, in an area there with animals in a barn, so to speak. And there, no doubt, it probably didn't smell very good in there, probably dirty in there, and so forth. It wouldn't be like a birthing room in a hospital. It wouldn't even be like where Rebecca had both of her children in home there. It wouldn't be clean like that. But the bottom line was, Jesus done that for a reason. And He done that because He had to strike a mighty blow at one thing that is going to take more people to hell, and that's pride. And His humble birth was the beginning of the humble life that Jesus lived to set an example. He said here, I want us in this particular scripture right here to catch the deal, leaving us an example. that ye should follow His steps, leaving us an example. That's what I want us to think on right now. Leaving us an example. I'm thankful tonight that the Lord left a wonderful example. He didn't leave an example that had any question to it. He didn't leave an example that was partly done and partly right and partly wrong. He left a perfect, glorious example. And if you and I follow that example, we'll follow Him right to heaven. Let's go to Philippians, the 2nd chapter, 5th verse. Philippians 2 and 5. Philippians 2 and 5. He says here, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal to God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, given him a name which is above every name, that the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. Now he said, being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. I want to talk about a subject tonight that is a large subject. Humility. Christ could not do with you and I what He done. He couldn't require us to do what He asked us to do. He couldn't lay out things like He's laid it out in the Word of God unless He set a perfect roadmap, a perfect example, a perfect way of humility from the birth all the way to the death. And everything Christ done was done through humility. He humbled Himself and took upon and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Over here in a translation, I want to read some points here as we get started. It said here in the 5th verse, it said, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, did not reckon equality with God something to be forcibly retained, did not cling to His prerogatives as God's equal, yet He did not look upon equality with God as above all things to be clung to, but He made Himself of no reputation. He emptied Himself, He impoverished Himself, but laid it aside, but stripped Himself of His glory, stripped Himself of all privileges and rightful dignity, and took upon Him the form of a servant, took upon Him the form of His slave, and taking the nature of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself. And appearing in human form, He humbled Himself, He abased Himself and showed obedience even unto death. He humbled Himself and even stooped to die, even the death of the cross, going so far as to actually die a criminal's death on a cross. Now think about it. Would you want to do what Christ done? He left the throne. Or at least He left heaven. And He come down here and He was working with the Father in a plan to bring about the greatest plan that had ever been established. And that greatest plan has to have a total foundation of humility. It would never work any other way. He couldn't have the people He's got without Him being totally humble, without Him blazing the trail, so to speak, setting the pace. But Christ left heaven. He left all the glory. He left everything that was there. He left all of that. Think about it, folks. He left all of that to come down here, take upon Him the form of a servant, strip Himself of everything that He had, everything that was connected with Him and the Father, and He stripped all that, and He come down here, and He took upon the form of a servant, and He lived the life, and He went through all the things that He went through, and got down to the end, and they charged Him, and they stripped Him, and they beat Him, and they put a crown on His head, and they hung Him on a cross out between two thieves and let Him die there. Do you get the picture of what He done? How serious it is for you and I to live for Him. how serious it is for you and I to do the things that we do for the simple fact that He went not just a little bit, but He went a long way for you and I to have a plan of salvation. A long way. He humbled Himself to the bottom. He died the most miserable, horrible death of the time. He died between two thieves. He was accounted as a thief, so to speak, and maybe as a robber. He had all these things that He'd done in humility just for you and I to be saved and live for God. How much do we appreciate it tonight? The greatest man that has ever lived for God is no greater than his humility. You mark that down in your little back book. I've known some of the greatest men, I feel like, in the last 40 years. And every one of them that I've watched and so forth has been no greater than humility, than their humility. And the way they've done, I've watched them humble their hearts. I've watched the old general do it right in front of a big old crowded monarch. I've watched others do it where that they made mistakes or blunders and they had to confess it. I'm not talking about sin. I'm just talking about a blunder, a mistake. And they felt like they need to ask forgiveness to the whole crowd or to the congregation. I've had to do it myself. I made a mistake in Holly Hill one night that I had to humble myself and ask forgiveness to everyone in that congregation. I should not have done what I'd done. But I didn't realize at the time what I was doing. I didn't see it was really anything to not do. But when I examined it, I saw I was wrong. And one man in the congregation is living for the Lord at that time. He said, if Brother Carl's what I think he is, he'll humble his heart and ask forgiveness of every one of us. And I did. And there's been other ministers. There have been other saints. The greatest man that has ever lived for God is no greater than his humility. When Christ was in the flesh, how do you think he dressed? In 2001, how do you think he would dress? 2013, 2012, 2010, 1999. I tell you what I think. He would dress the very same way that he dressed way back there. He would have a modest apparel all the way down that should be. It would be perfect in every way, and there'd be no way you could find any fault with it. Humility. Jesus left his throne, so to speak. There is people out there that have a throne. I was cleaning the home one time. First time we went there, Lloyd Eck, some of us went to clean windows in this doctor's house. And he told me he was a doctor and we cleaned all the windows. I don't think there was anybody there. Maybe I don't know if his wife Dolly was there that night or that day or not. But anyway, later I went back with Linda's sister, and we were there cleaning and so forth, and this doctor showed up. Now, somebody mentioned his name, and he happened to be a doctor, done surgery on my dad. So I knew who this doctor was. And I found out later he was a very egotistical, very proud, uplifted man. Even the men in the high society didn't even like this man because he was so high on himself. He comes in that day. He's got a green scrub suit. I guess that's what you call this, Shirley. Been in surgery. And he walks in. And me and my big mouth, I looked at him. And I go, you look like a doctor. He goes, I am a doctor. He raised himself up just like that. And he looked at him and said, I am a doctor. And Paul and I couldn't wait to get out of the house because we were laughing so hard. We had to run. We had to get out of there. We had to hold our composure till we got out of there because we busted out laughing. He was so egotistical. Listen, there's a lot of people out there that have that very attitude. I am somebody. The only one that's got the right to say I am is Jesus and God themselves. I am that I am. And nobody else has the right to say that but them. So, you and I must leave our throne. We're going to have to leave our throne to work within the plan of salvation. We're going to have to leave our throne to help people get delivered from sin. We're going to have to leave our throne to lead by example to sanctification. People are going to have to leave their throne to show the people humility by His grace, to live the life in purity, to be willing to trust God for healing, to live where the glory of the Lord is prevalent, to be a member of the church of God, for the Lord to lead us into all truth, to show the world the love of God, to show the saints love, to show the world and the church the grace of God, show the world the power of God. There is people out there that's going to have to come off their throne, so to speak. They're going to have to get out where Jesus is. Praise God. He left the throne. I'm telling you, He died the life, or He died the death. There is people out there that you and I, we're going to have to die the death. We're going to have to crucify the flesh and crucify self in every way whereby and leave that throne where we can get down to the place where the Lord can bless and lead and work with you and I every day. Humility. How humble are we today? His birth was a very humble birth. His childhood was a very humble childhood. His life was a very humble life. His death was a very humble death. Alright, let's go back to 1 Peter 2 and 21. We desire your prayers. 1 Peter 2 and 21. For even hereunto were you called. But Christ also suffered for us, leaving us example that we should follow His steps. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in His mouth. Who, when he reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but he committed himself to Him that judges righteously. For even hereunto were ye called. All right, let's go to Philippians 2, 5 through 8 again. I want to pick a scripture up there to tie this all together. Look not every man, 2 and 4, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Christ had a humble mind. Christ had a humble life. So he says here in 1 Peter, he said here that, for even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us example that ye should follow His steps. That ye should follow His steps. Let this mind be in you. Is our mind tonight, could we say that our mind is a mind of humility? Have we had anything lately that has been thrown at us or happened to us and so forth, and we had a struggle with it because we weren't willing to humble down? We're going to have to humble down, saints, if we're going to get what we need. If you're going to get to heaven, you've got to start with humility. You and I can't get saved. We can't get anywhere without humbling our hearts. And humbling down to the bottom for the Lord to even begin to work with us and deal with us. There's people that struggle and struggle and struggle. There's people that stand these pews over and over in revival meetings and camp meetings and assembly meetings because the bottom line, they won't humble their heart. Well, what will people think if I go to the altar? Or I don't have any real needs. They won't be able to really face themselves and face the fact, I don't care what other people think. The bottom line is, if I don't get the help I need, I won't make it to glory. So I need to humble myself. And there's lots of people that will not humble themselves to even get started, to even get to a place where the Lord can really work with them. He'll work with them and deal with them, but they can't get the real victory and the real power and the real salvation and anything that they need because they won't humble to the bottom. The Lord sometimes allows us to go through a lot of things. Brother Kimball. When Brother Kimball went to get saved, the Lord had come along and began to knock props out under him, one right after another. And he told people about it. And then finally somebody said, you know what? Said, the Lord is dealing with you. Well, he didn't quite think of it that way at that time. And then another one got knocked out, and another one got knocked out. And about the time he got knocked all the way down to the bottom, he decided it was time to get in a closet. He literally got into a regular closet, I understand, and he fasted for 3 days, and he prayed, and he sought God, and he went in a sinner, and he come out of saint. Praise God. He humbled to the bottom, and he got the help that he needed. Tonight, is there any need that we've got? Anything that's hindering us? Well, what what people think. I ain't worried about what people think. What's the Lord think? What's He dealing? What's He saying? And if you and I are not willing to humble our hearts, to get out where the low, where the stream is flowing so low, where the power of God is, you and I are going to stay in the place we're at and we're going to be hindered the rest of our life. Humility. He left us a good example. And let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Could people look around us and say, that man or that woman has a mind of humility? Would they be able to look at it and say, I can see humility there. I can see the depths and the blessing that these have. Humility is freedom from pride and arrogance. It's humbleness of mind, a modest estimate of one's own worth, an act of submission. It's low, it's small, it's slight, on or near to the ground. Hence, lowly, modest, meek, submissive, inexpensive. In a religious sense, it's having a low opinion of oneself and a deep sense of unworthiness in the sight of God. A low opinion of oneself and a deep sense of unworthiness. Humility. Let's go to Isaiah 57 and 15. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let this mind be in you. Oh, tonight, do we have a mind like the Lord has? When He was dealing with people, how did He deal with them? When they dealt with Him, let me reverse that a little bit. When they were dealing with Him, how did He react back to them? How did He answer them? How did He do? Didn't one place say He answered not a word? They was accusing Him, and I believe He didn't even say a thing. When they was fixed to do with Him what they done, He could have called 12 legions of angels. He could have done all kind of things. But what did He do? He submitted. He humbled. He got to the bottom. He done whatever it needed to be because the plan of salvation rested totally upon Him. Listen, folks, today, if you knew, and if you knew that there was people out there that's watching you, and you knew that your life was having a great effect on them, and yet you was a place that you didn't want to humble and do what you done, and yet it would affect them and keep them out of heaven, would it be worth it? That's what He done. He humbled Himself where you and I can make heaven. And you and I have an effect on a lot of people. There's people watching us constantly. There's people looking on us all around. Our family members and so forth. And they looking and watching and so forth. And you, they need to see a humility. I've humbled my heart to my wife. I've humbled my heart to my children. I made a mistake, girls. I didn't quite rightly judge in this thing. I should not have said that or done that or spanked you or whatever. I should not have done it that way. We should have done it different. I'm sorry. Brother O'Neill Pratt. He was the pastor over in Holly Hill for a number of years. He was one of the most respected men in that area. And in 6 years of living there, the only negative thing I ever heard of that man, and he had 12 children. 12 now. And you know that their 12 children, I think they would be plenty of room to make a mistake once in a while. The only negative thing they said is they thought he misjudged on a child one time and chastised him when he shouldn't have. Of course, that was somebody else's thinking. But the bottom line was, that's the only negative thing. He had quite an impact, and his children still have a lot of respect for the saints. Some of them are saved. Some of them gotten saved and so forth. And they have respect. They come to meeting when they can and so forth. But the bottom line is, he had a lot of influence with a lot of people. Jesus had a lot of influence with a lot of people. How much influence do we have? We will, the more humility we have, the more influence we will have. The greater outreach we'll have. The greater touching people we'll have. Oh, tonight, how is our humility? How deep is our humility? There was a girl one time come to the altar. A young lady. I say a girl, she was a young lady. She liked to sing. She come down the altar. Minister, and I don't know if I know who the minister was, and his wife come down, and they was working with her. And they said, what is your problem? And she said, well, I'm getting lifted up with pride. Okay, why? Because of my singing. And so the minister thought about it a minute, and he said, well, let me put it this way. He said, if you was to sing for a piece of pie,
you wouldn't even get any. You wouldn't get any pie. Now, in a sense, he used a lot of wisdom there. He was letting her know that you're getting exalted in an area you don't even have no reason to get exalted in. The bottom line was he was helping her to see, humble your heart, girl, and you're not any type of a singer. If you get down real low, the Lord can bless that singing, though. He can bless that teaching. He can bless that preaching. He can bless that work that you're doing. But you got to get down there where the Lord is, where a stream finds a bed that is lowly, praise God. In the lowest spot is where Jesus is, praise God. Oh, I want the blessings. I want the glory. Get out where it's at. Humble down where it's at. I was in a situation one time, and I sought the advice. It's been a number of years ago. I sought the advice of an old mentor. He said, Brother Carl, the only way I found to deal with this family is through real humility. And I'm sitting there in my mind going, no, no, no. We can't do it that way. I climbed in the car one day. I'd been fasting and praying. I climbed in the car and was headed to the house. And the Lord got in and sat down with me. And He said, humble yourself, child. Humble yourself. Humble yourself to the bottom. Humble yourself. That older minister was right. The Lord backed him 100%. And when I went in the next meeting with these people to try to get our problem ironed out, I humbled to the bottom. I let them walk all over me. I let them shoot at me, gun me down, stab me in the back, and do everything they could do. And one of the trustees that was in that meeting told me, he said, I would not have wanted to be in your position tonight. But he had to admit that I guess I was doing the right thing. He wasn't against it. But he saw that I humbled to the bottom and let them do whatever they wanted with me. What did Jesus do? Didn't He humble to the bottom and let them do what they wanted with Him? They shouldn't have done what they done, but they did. There's going to be times that we don't feel like we're being treated right. But if we humble, the Lord's going to get in there with us and bless us, praise God. That's the reason we've got to humble to the bottom. We've got to get in there where Jesus is, and He can take us in His hands, and He can bless us and encourage us and inspire us and take care of us, and we'll get down where we need to be. Humility. All right, Isaiah 57 and 15. For this is the only place in the New Testament and the Old that I know of that uses the word eternity. For thus saith the High and the Lofty One that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in a high and a holy place with Him also, that is of a contrite and a humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Contrite means crushed in spirit by remorse or guilt, resulting from remorse or guilt. Oh, tonight, he said, with Him also, that is of a contrite and a humble spirit. A contrite, to revive the spirit. Some people want to be revived. Some people want to be challenged. Some people want to be stirred up and so forth. But if we're going to have that, we're going to have to get out where He can give it to us. We're going to have to get out real low where He can pour it on, where He can pour it out, where He can give us everything. Because if we don't, if He pours on the glory and we think we're anything, we're going to come up there with the wrong attitude. Oh, tonight, for thus saith the High and Lofty One, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and the holy place with Him also. How bad do we want the Lord's real glory tonight? When's the last time that He poured out such glory you couldn't stand it? That you was just absolutely beside yourself because of the presence of God. 1987, right up there in that home that Brother Mark used to live in, the Lord come down two different times when I was in that home. He come down several times as far as that goes. But in the two different incidents, He come down and He flooded my soul with such glory, I thought I would explode. And Becky and Sister Verna was in the kitchen eating, and I was shouting and crying at the same time. And Rebecca Ann got up and she come in there and said, are you all right? Are you okay, Carl? I said, baby doll, Jesus, just come on by. He just walked by and He poured it out when He come by, praise God. He paid me a visit. The High and the Lofty One comes down and blesses those of great humility and gets them and blesses them and works with them because we get down where the Lord is. Let's go to Micah, the 6th chapter. Six and
3, I think it is. O my people, what I've done unto thee, and wherein hast thou wearied thee, testify against thee. For I brought thee up out of the land of Egypt, and redeemed thee out of the house of servants, and I sent before thee Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. O my people, remember now what Balak, king of Moab, consulted, and what Balaam, the son of Beor, answered him from Shittim to Gilgal, that ye may know the righteousness of the Lord. Wherewith shall I come before the Lord? Bow myself before the high God. Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give the firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? To me, he lays out some pretty good things here. He gets down to the point. Talks about the burnt offerings. Is that what I need to do? Do I need to bring calves of a year old? Will he be pleased with thousands of rams or with 10,000s of rivers of oil? That would be a lot. I don't know what it would be worth back then, but thousands of rams today would be worth a lot of money. 10,000s of rivers of oil would really be worth a lot of money. And shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He's getting down to the place the sister said a while ago, there's such love, she'd be willing to give her life for a child. He's saying here, if I give this, will this get me what I want? Will this get me to come before God? Will this bless me that worked? And said, he has showed thee. O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require thee but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God? To walk humbly. How often do you walk humbly with God? Every day, don't you? You're going to have to get up humble. You're going to have to walk all day humble. And you're going to have to go to bed humble. You're going to have to work on the job humble. You're going to have to work with your customers humble. You're going to have to work with the wife humbly. You're going to have to work with the children humbly. We need to leave an example of humility everywhere we go, everything we do, whereby that they can see this person walks with Jesus. This is the life that must be demonstrated before mankind. We live in such a proud and arrogant world today. There is pride everywhere. And the only way that we're going to diffuse that is to be humble. The only way we're going to diffuse it is for the workings of the spirit of humility to radiate out and to come against pride and to come against arrogance and to come against these things. That's going to do something that nothing else will do. Are we walking humbly every day? So what did the Lord require? He has showed thee. O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee? Now, if the Lord requires something, you and I are going to have to do it. We must do justly, must love mercy, and must walk humbly with thy God. Every day. Every moment of every day. All the world sees today is pride. We were cleaning a home many years ago back in the 70s. The late 70s. This house had 10 to 12,000 square foot in it. The owner of this house was a man in the oil business. He owned Lear jets. He had fine cars. He had a wife and he had two children. This was a double marriage. He had two children. She had two children. And his daughter was married to a young man that Paul had brought into the business, so to speak. And the son-in-law didn't have anything till he married Paul's daughter, Paula. And so there was a day they were there and I can't think of the young man's name or the man's name. And he was walking down the hall. Now this is a long hall. And about a 100-foot hall.
And there's rooms on this side, and there's other little closets and stuff over here. And he was going down, and I looked at him, and pride just poured forth out of him. You could see it. He was walking proud, acting proud, being proud. I don't remember his wife Paula being that way, or his dad-in-law being that way so much, but that young man thought he was stuck on a stick. You know why? Because he was married to who he was married to, and his father-in-law was a very wealthy man. And he had a big home because of his father-in-law, but the bottom line was he had everything he had because of Paul. It wasn't because of his family, it was because of his wife's family had taken him and put him in this position. Listen, folks, everything we got comes from Jesus. We didn't get it on our own. Some people get some things, but listen, I ain't got what I got because of my daddy protect me, or because of my mama. I got some inheritance. I'm not denying that. I do have some things because of inheritance, but the bottom line is the bulk of everything I've got come from Jesus, come from the Father, come from a place of power, authority, and glory, because He took me and picked me up out of the mully grubs of sin. He set my feet on a solid rock and He made something out of me. Praise God. I have. But that don't give me no right to walk down the hall and look like a big shot. The littler I can look, the better off I'm going to be. The smaller I be, the more He will bless me. Oh, tonight, that young man looked like he was worth billions of dollars. In faction, he had been given everything he had. Been given everything he had. I had to kind of chuckle to myself because he was acting so big and so mighty, and yet he didn't have anything, so to speak, if it hadn't been for his father-in-law and his wife. Proverbs 15:33. Let's look here right quick. It said, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. Before honor is humility. The Lord's not going to take proud people and put them in big places. You're going to have to get down real low. If you want the biggest job God's got for you, the littler you get, the faster you'll get there. So Lord, help us to get down there. Lord, help us to get where exactly where the Lord would have us to be. Are we doing that tonight? Is the Lord taking and working? Is He showing us things that we need to do? What has He showed you in this meeting? What has He enlivened you in this meeting? How much blessings do you want in this meeting? Likewise, younger, submit yourself, 1 Peter 5:5. Yea, all of you be subject one another and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. God resisteth the proud. Let me see if I can find another scripture right here that's coming to mind. 4:6 of James. But He giveth more grace. Wherefore He saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. He giveth more grace. I'm going to tell you, you and I can get grace. We can get blessings. We can get help through humility. He's able to give it. They may be shooting us down. They may be doing everything they're doing. But the bottom line is, when we get down there in humility, that's where that grace flows to that low spot. That's where it pours out to you and I. Oh, they can be doing everything they want to do to you and I. But we're right down there, and the Lord's pouring in that grace and pouring in that love and pouring in that glory and pouring in that power, because we've got down there where He can pour it in. And as He pours, as they rant and rave, He's still giving us the peace and the joy and the blessings and the glory right in the midst of the fire. How do you think the people died on the cross when they burned on the stakes back there? How do you think they done what they done? Because it got real humble, and that grace was flowing when the faggots were being lit and when the fire was blazing. They was raising their hands and shouting and praising God because of the things that the Lord was doing to them right at the time in the midst of the fire. You and I can be burned at the stake, so to speak. And I don't mean literally here, but figuratively. But the Lord can pour in such grace that we can stand there and praise God right in the midst of it. Right in the midst of the pain. Right in the midst of the suffering. He resisteth the proud, and He giveth grace to the humble. Gives plenty of grace. He giveth more grace. Praise God. He giveth more grace. More grace.
He giveth grace unto the humble. How much grace do you need? Get down there where it's flowing, praise God. And He will pour it to you. He will pour it to you, thank the Lord. Oh, tonight I'm thankful for the grace that He has given to His people down through the years. Two and one of Philippians. It said, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, of any comfort of love, any fellowship of the Spirit, of any bowels of mercies, fulfill you my joy that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind, let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, but in lowliness of mind. Let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Several years ago, it would have been in the year of 1982, I was over at Thayer, Missouri with my girlfriend, Rebecca Ann. And I was enjoying being there, and we were courting and being in love and enjoying one another. And I got a call from Earl Benson, my future nephew. Good friends of mine. He said, we need to strip the floor in the Guthrie Chapel. I need your help. I want you to come. I don't care if you're courting Aunt Rebecca or not. I want you to get over here to Guthrie and help me. Well, it was a big job. Some of you have been to that old Guthrie Chapel, and it was all tile. It was not an easy job. I knew what Earl faced, and he respected me enough. He knew what I could do. We had worked together enough. He knew that my help was imminent in his doing that job and doing it thick and fast and well and so forth. Well, I left there, and I come to Guthrie. And I got in the harness with him and others. The Bob Salee and different ones was in there, and we were working and scrubbing and cleaning and so forth. The next Sunday morning, Brother Leslie got up and he praised Brother Earl Benson real high for everything he'd done. He never mentioned me one time. A little hard on the pride there, folks. I left Rebecca, left the enjoyable things I was doing over there with Clayton and Evelyn and Rebecca and so forth, and had come over there and helped and didn't even get recognized. That hurt a little bit. That hurt a little bit. But he said here in another place, let's see, where is it at here? Be of the same mind. Be of the same mind. This is 15 and 16. No, 12 and 16. Be of the same mind one of another. Mind not high things. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of lowest faith. Lowest state, be not wise in your own conceits. He says there, well, I'm not finding what I'm wanting. But anyway, this over here in Philippians covers it pretty good there. He's saying there that if we will get down, he said, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. So I had to just esteem Earl and Brother Bob and everybody else, because everybody got mentioned basically but me. And Brother Leslie knew I was there, if I remember, he got me into the job. And I worked just as hard as all the rest of them, but I didn't even get. But I just had to humble on down. Amen, brother. Pour it on. Tell them how good they are. That's all right. Can you do that? And I'm not bragging when I say that. In other words, we need to do that. Let each esteem other better than ourselves. Lift up the other guy. Pour it on the other man. Let that blessing be there for them. All right, Romans 12 and 3. For I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Through the grace given unto me. Didn't Paul say one time, he said, I am what I am by the grace of God? And here he said, I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, seriously, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Everything we have in the spiritual line come from God. The faith we have and everything that we have connected with it, the very fact that we were brought to the place of salvation to humble our hearts and so forth, that all come from God. It did not come from ourselves. If we had had our way, we'd never be saved. If we had had our way, we'd been riding high doing everything else. But the bottom line was, Jesus come along, He worked with us, He helped us and so forth, and He says there that not to think of Himself more highly than He ought to think, but to think soberly. To always remember, to always consider that God has given you what you have. And that He wants to bless you and He wants to help you. Matthew 18. No, let's go to Exodus 10. Exodus, the 10th chapter. As we wrap it on down here. Exodus 10 and the first verse. 10 and 1 of Exodus. And the Lord said to Moses, go in unto Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart and the heart of his servants, that I might show these things. Show these my signs before him, and that thou mayest tell in the ears of thy son and of thy son's sons what things I have wrought in Egypt and my signs which I have done among them, that ye may know how that I am the Lord. And Moses and Aaron came in unto Pharaoh and said unto him, thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews, how long wilt thou refuse to humble thyself before me? Let my people go, that they may serve me. Else if thou refuse to let my people go, behold, tomorrow will I bring the locust into thy coast. And they shall cover the face of the earth, that one cannot be able to see the earth. And they shall eat the residue of that which is escaped, which remaineth unto you from the hail. And shall eat every tree which groweth for you out of the field. They shall fill thy houses and the houses of all thy servants, the houses of all the Egyptians, which neither thy fathers nor thy fathers' fathers have seen since the day that they were upon the earth unto this day. And he turned himself and he went out from Pharaoh. How long wilt thou refuse to humble thyself before me? Let my people go. Seems like people sometimes go on for a long time not willing to humble down and get what they need to get. I mentioned in one message, if I remember right, the fact that to get problems solved, there's got to be humility on both sides. I have never seen it yet, and I've dealt in mediation situations, and I went one side would be where I'd like, was where I'd like to see them be, and the other side was over here too high, and you got too high and too low, and you cannot work it out. It never has worked, at least in my case, no matter what angle I went from, what counsel I give, and so forth. When you got one up here and one down here, they'll never be able to get together on the right plane. They wouldn't humble. They wouldn't humble. Now then, he's asking us tonight here in this meeting, how long wilt thou refuse to humble thyself before me? He gave Pharaoh all kind of chances. Pharaoh could have been blessed way back there. He wouldn't have had to gone through near what he went through if he'd humbled himself early. But he wouldn't humble himself. What is it going to take? Brother Kimball had all these things, props, knocked out from under him. Finally he decided, you know, maybe what they're telling me is true. Maybe I ought to humble myself and get saved. And people go on. And there's problems that's not solved. There's troubles that's not taken care of because somebody won't humble. There's a deal. Like I said, had this one problem I've worked on for several years and I can't get it solved because there's not enough humility all the way around. I've tried and tried and tried and can't get it fixed. And it's frustrating when one person or maybe two or three in a deal, they're trying. And now then Rebecca's gone and now it's down to the three of us and I don't know if I'll ever get it resolved. It's frustrating when you can't get something. When you beg, when you plead, when you write, when you do everything you can do to resolve it, and you still can't get it because people want to humble their hearts.
How long will we wait? How long wilt thou refuse to humble thyself before me? Before the Lord. Let my people go, that they may serve me. Those people that are out there that's looking on to wonder to whether we humble or not, we've got them captive in a sense. We're holding them. And they're waiting on us, and they're sitting there, and what would happen if they died and went to hell waiting for you and I to humble our hearts? Because we wouldn't do it. How long will you wait? Pharaoh destroyed his whole army. All those people, because he wouldn't humble. He humbled enough to let them go, but then he took off after them again. And it was total destruction. Wiped totally out. How long will you wait? Lord, help us tonight. If there is something that we need to do, if there is a humility that we need to get down to the bottom to get a problem solved, whatever that might be, 16:18 of Proverbs says, pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Better it is to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. Pride goeth before destruction. How many times have you seen that? How many times have we watched pride destroy people and hinder people and do things? We have got national leaders. We have got people that have literally been destroyed because of their pride. It has got them in trouble over and over and over. One man recently that done something, got out, turned around, and come back and run for office in New York or somewhere, and looked like that maybe he was going to make a comeback, and then something come out on it, he's still denying it. And they had the goods on him pretty well. The person said he did this. He lost. He lost. There is people out there that is having problems because they're not humbling. Better it is to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. Oh, Lord, help us tonight. Help us to get down there where we ought to be. Help us to get down there where the Lord can help us, where He can deliver, where He can bless, where He can work, where He can open up what needs to be done tonight. Can we do that? Three and 34 of Proverbs says, surely he scorneth the scorners. You know, there's people out there that scorns people. You might have somebody that scorned you, maybe right within your own family, scorn and look down. But God is the one that is scorning the scorners. He's the one that is looking down. He's the one that's holding them. But He giveth grace unto the lowly. All right. James 4 and 6. I guess that's the one I had a while ago. But I want 1 Peter 5:5. This is the one that's been on my mind even more than some of the rest of them. Well, 5 and 6. 1 Peter 5:6. Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand. I was inspired with this scripture when I was laying prostrate on the floor cleaning a sunken tub. I mean, this tub was flat down. I mean, the top of it was just barely above the floor. The only way I could get to it to clean it all is either get in it or lay down flat out prostrate on the floor and work with that tub. And one day the Lord came along and started dealing with me about this scripture. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. Humble yourselves, therefore, that He may exalt you in due time. Not your time, but His time. His time, that He wants to work His time, that He sees that you're in the position now, I can pour it on you, I can lift you up, I can bless you, I can do whatever you need, because you're down there in the place where now I can pour it in, praise God, in His time. Alright, 10 and 17 of Psalms, in closing. Lord, Thou hast heard the desire of the humble. Thou prepare their heart, Thou cause Thine ear to hear. Oh, tonight Thou hast heard the desire of the humble. The desire of the humble tonight. What is our desire? He hears that. He blesses that. Thou prepare their heart. He can work with that humble heart. And then Thou will cause Thine ear to hear that humble cry. And He will move to that. His eyes are over the righteous. His ears are open unto the prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you. There is no better place to be than under the hand of God. Get down there where that hand will protect you and watch over you and so forth. Take care of you. And then when He gets ready, He just reaches down there. He's right down there with you. He just gently picks you up and bring you up to where He wants you to be, because you've gotten down there. You know, some of these offices, some of these positions and everything, the only way we're going to get to the place we need to be is through true humility. Brother Salmon said wasn't it after the first time he preached? And he went in I guess he didn't feel like he'd done very well. Anyway, I remember right, he said he went into his room and he got down and he said, I didn't feel low enough. He said there was no treadle sawing machine, if I'm saying that right. He said, I literally climbed up under that thing to be as low as I could get. And what did the Lord do with him? Did He leave him down there? No, He raised him up. He exalted him and used him and blessed him over and over and over. I love to be with Him. I love to hear Him preach. I love to be in meeting with Him. He taught me so much. But He started out and He stayed there and the Lord exalted him and poured it on. And I appreciate that. We can have the same thing if we're willing to get down where the Lord is.